Am I on?
Yes,
I am. Hey, how are you? How are you doing with the nice warm weather inside? It's nice and warm. Whoa. I remember first, like, you know, few years, we were so cold that everybody was covering. It's just a bitter experience that I had for some years. Like, you know, it's like, but thank God for the new heaters. You know, every time, every week in the morning, we turn on the switch. And so, you know, the four heaters strongly coming, and I feel really warm, and I'm really thankful. I'm really thankful. In the morning, we were gathering in the 9 o'clock. We were praying for you, small number of people. We were blessing you, you know, praying for the blessing of God upon everyone, encouragement, because we all need encouragement, right? Because the world can be a cold place, but in the church of God, we should have warmth, yeah? So we were praying, and I was really thank God for, like, simple reverse air cycle. It was actually warm when we got in there. Han turned it on, and I just really thank God for so many things. I appreciate a lot more, like, you know, when you go to a place where the stuff that we take for granted, like heater, air conditioning, good food, some sugary food as well, like chocolate and things like, are not there. You come back, you really grow in sort of appreciation. Because I got a little bit of sweet tooth when I was in, you know, mission. No sweets. No sweets. So, wow. So, yeah. Oh, well, let's just pray. I want to share with you Psalm 133, which to me is something, I've been thinking about this for a while, and also shared this message with the church in Mesot. And it was just something beautiful to see. So we pray, Lord Jesus, Lord, we are your body. And Lord, unity is a gift from you. And also at the same time, Lord, it's something that we strive to get together, Lord, to retain as well. And Lord Jesus, we thank you when you died on the cross. Lord, you shed your blood, the only basis of unity, of humanity in triune God, Lord, has been established. And Jesus, you prayed that wonderful prayer, Lord, that we will be united as one, just as you are one with the Father. May that prayer, Lord, that will be fulfilled, O God, because none of your prayer goes unanswered, Lord, but let it be fulfilled in our gathering to a great measure as a testimony to your goodness, O God. So, Father, we thank you. We love you. We thank you for unconditionally loving us. Hallelujah. And bringing us forward, bringing us, Lord, higher, upward into your presence, Lord, and in one with you and one with one another. We thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's turn to Psalm 133. Let's read. It's a short psalm. 119 is the long psalm. Thank God we don't read 119. 133 is only three verses. Now, when I did one of the first Bible study with a newly born again cousin who prayed the sinner's prayer about same week, you know, I put up Psalm 119, read through before we studied, and that took out like 30 minutes, 40 minutes. It was lack of wisdom. Very little discussion afterwards. Okay, let's read. It's a song of ascent of David. Are you there? Psalm 133. Okay, I'm going to read from New King James. If you have different versions, it's okay. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Amen. Amen. Short verse. I don't know how many of you memorize this, read it again and again. It's just a short, beautiful psalm with pictures that you can imagine. But not many actually get into it because I think, I'll share with you now. You know, this is Psalm of David.
It's a psalm. When you say of David, that title of David, it's actually in original. It's not supplied by the translators. So I take it that it's David is responsible for the psalm. And also it's a psalm of ascent, a group of psalms that Israelites, as they come back to Israel from all the tribes, as they ascend that hill of Zion, they begin to sing these psalms, all this group of psalms. It's Psalm 133 is the second last psalm of the Song of Ascent. So it's a psalm that as you go towards Jerusalem to worship God, to gather together as a whole nation, you begin to sing these psalms one by one. And this is sung there. So, well, it's interesting, like, you know, when you feel, we've just finished the study of psalm on Wednesdays, and you find that some psalms actually really help you, like when you feel really bad, when you're really down. Like Psalm 42-43 was a psalm of David when he was at a very low point. Sometimes psalm actually gives you words to, you know, really express your feeling towards God and how you really feel and be honest with it. So that was the psalm of David. So, you know, it was written when David was really in low point and the place called En Gedi, and geographically at a lowest point of the earth, physically as well as spiritually at a low point. And he begins to sing this psalm. Psalm 133 is the opposite. It is at the height. He's singing this psalm, and he talks about Mount Hermon, which is actually the highest point in Israel. And it's a song sung as people begin to gather to worship God. So first verse, he says, "Behold, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." The word behold, I want to say, it's something stunning when actually you see brothers dwell together in unity. It's so special. It's so unusual. He says, stop what you're doing. Have a look at what's happening here. Brothers are dwelling together in unity. Me and my brother, we're both pastors. My brother is a pastor of Korean congregation. And, you know, when we were growing up, we were 2 years apart. We, you know, sometimes we were very different. You know, I remember actually having a fist fight with him and got beaten quite sound. You know, I was on the floor, on the ground. He was on top of me. And I go, oh, okay, you win, I lose. But as we grow together, you know, last time I probably told you, we love one another. I know the struggles and, you know, and so on. I bought him iWatch as a gift because I just wanted to. You know, I got some extra money. I just, well, just had lunch together. I took him, bought that, and then my mother was there for, she was so happy. She really, 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 really blessed her heart. If I bought her iWatch, she would just, you know, what's this, throwing away. I buy my brother iWatch. It's like giving her, like, you know, house. And then my brother went to Korea. He came back. He bought me, what is it? Apple i something, the computer. Computer. The whole computer with a touchpad thing. It, like, I checked the price. It was $2,700. I spent about $700 or something like that. And I go, whoa, wow. I didn't ask for it. He just went and just bought it. First thing in the time, he just went and bought it. And my mother said, he was so happy. I'll take it and I'll give it to, you know, my brother. He will be happy. So he just really blessed her. And when brothers, sisters, you know, we can say, Lord, I love you. Spend time, you know, love you, I love you, I love you. But when we actually say, I really love you, one another, guess how much that blesses God? That really blesses God when we actually express our love for one another. One another, not only to God, but actually to one another. And when that happens, it is so stunning. To us, it's like, oh yeah, okay. It's one of those things. To God, it's so stunning. God says, hey, pause. Whole heaven, just stop. See what's happening here. They're loving one another. They're expressing their love for one another. They're blessing one another. They are in unity. Wow! The whole heaven stops. And he says, how wonderful. It's like, you know, when you see the beautiful sunset, you stop, right? When the sunset or sunrise, you wake up early just to have that few minutes, couple of minutes of sunrise or sunset. You just stop. It just captivates you. So it's like that God is saying, look, I stop to watch because it is so blessing God's heart. And another thing is, you know what? In the world, there are plenty of things that are pleasant, but they are not good. Especially when you grow up, brush your teeth. It's good, but it's not pleasant. Eat your vegetables. It's good for you. Read your Bible. It's good for you. It is pleasant, yes. Pray. Fast. Yeah, fast. Not very pleasant. But here is unique. When brothers and sisters, the family of God dwells in unity, it's both pleasant and it is good. It is enjoyable and it is inherently good. It is good to God, good to heaven, good to God's own heart. It's also good. It's pleasant for us. So, you know, like, is there a same word in your language? You know, in when I was growing up in Korea, it says like, no, the better medicine is more bitter. Not so good medicine, it's not that bitter. So you really want to get a good medicine, it's got to be very bitter, right? Chocolate is not good for you. But, you know, good medicine is very bitter. But here, it's like a good medicine that is coated with, well, chocolate inside. So it's both good and pleasant. You know, holiness, for example. Holiness is real happiness, real joy. In the long run, but in the world, there are things that are pleasant. Playing video games all day is pleasant, but in the long run, it's not really good. A little bit is okay, but so here, long-term good. It's something that we can all enjoy, something that blesses everyone, something that all of us enjoy, something that is pleasant to see and to hear. Is when God's people dwell together in unity. Okay, so really the word there here is more like a harmony than unity, as one. It's not about wearing the same color shirts. It's not about all GI shirt or, you know, doing the same thing, thinking the same thing. We all have different viewpoints. We bring different things. But it's about our heart. It's about the attitude of the heart. It's about the disposition. It's the heart unity, not conformity. And it's like music. It's like music. Today, beautiful music. I go, ah. And Mia go, ah. Can you go? Ah. Okay, let's do it. Stand up. Yeah. And then one more person. All right. That's nice. Now, you go. You go. You go. One, two, three. You go. That's painful. Now, go harder, I can see you. Sometimes we sing together, right? And some people are, sometimes, right, you know, a little bit sort of tone deaf. And then sing, you know, you start off in the wrong key. And all the background music keeps going. The person keeps going. Something has to happen, right? Eventually, the louder voice. But this is, unity is a bit like that. It's something really pleasant is actually, the word is pleasant is to hear. good to see. It's both good to see. When you see it, it blesses you. And it's pleasant to the ear. It's an experience. But the unity, harmony is like when it is almost right, but not quite, it can be quite painful. So it just gotta be on tune, right? Yeah. When you look at the Bible is a very honest book from the Genesis to Revelation. God's people, record of God's people, the history, full of God's people, brothers, sisters, cannot dwell together. Cain and Abel, first murder in the history. It's a family, it's the two brothers. One was righteous, one was not. They couldn't live together. That's how our history opens up. And, you know, yeah. Abraham and Lot. We are brothers, it says, but couldn't dwell together. To this day, Arab and Israel, it's the same problem, isn't it? A family, they had to go, and then they're still in dispute. Esau and Jacob, it's the same thing. After that, we see Joseph and 11 brothers. Joseph, called by God to save the family, but unity was not there. Moses, when he was called out to bring Israel to worship God, he really had to fight for unity in the wilderness with the whole congregation. And then we come to the book of Judges. And whenever Israel was divided and they did what was right in their own eyes, they were defeated. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And whenever there was division, defeat. When they were together under the leadership of God's anointed, again, they were succeeding. And then after that, we come to Saul, King Saul. He was anointed. For a short time, country was together, but not for long, because unity has to be unity with God, not disunity with God and then structural unity. So they had a structural unity, but not real unity with heaven. And then you end up with really anointed King David and Saul. And David, for a short time, had the tribe of Judah. Remember that? David ran for his life. Judah came under David, but the rest of the tribes came under Saul. And there were 7.5 years of war. At last, under David, nation was united. All 12 tribes came together. And he says, let's move together. Let's move forward. It's God's will. For the first time in a long time, the whole 12 tribes came together. And then David started out this new worship system where you had an Ark of Covenant that was open. And the people will come up and they will worship God direct. They will have singers and worshipers singing toward the Ark of Covenant, worshiping God. The God was put in the right place. Everybody could connect with God. That was the whole new worship system. And then for the first time in a very long time, all 12 tribes were coming, walking up to Jerusalem on that hill of Zion, happy, singing, joyous. Probably David was looking down from the balcony of his palace and seeing, for the first time in a very, very long history, all 12 tribes coming up to worship God with open Ark of Covenant, their faces full of joy. They're smiling because 7.5 years, these tribes were at war, coming together. And David is seeing, you know, all the faces glowing. And he's so happy, you know, how, look at this. Look at this, because history, it's easy to say unity, but actually living it, if the closest members of the family, is very difficult. It really is difficult everywhere. In fact, I had my fights with my brother. Now, little older,
I really love my brother. I pray for him. He prays for me. We love each other. And there's just blessing that comes on it. And this is, I believe, David is looking down and see people are singing the songs of ascent. The second last song is probably very close to the top to enter into worship God with the next one. But David is just so overjoyed, he grabs his guitar and then he starts singing like Josh. And this is where that Hebrew song came, yeah? Da-da-da-da. I can't get the tune. There's a song on this one. So I think this is how the song's written down. Now, as David is singing this song, he's bringing two different pictures together. Very interesting. First picture is Aaron being anointed by God to serve as a high priest. Who is Aaron? Moses' brother. Who is, he's the first high priest of Israel. So before, well, when Israel came out of wilderness, before the whole priestly function could work, the first thing that had to happen was you got to have the high priest. And then there is a crucial element and point in time where high priest, before this anointing, goes through a lot of cleansing, right? Days of cleansing and sacrifices and so on. And then at one point comes an anointing ceremony where special anointing oil is made. It's made up of olive oil and, you know, five, I think, different types of solids. Exodus 30. The solids that is full of perfume that are grounded and mixed together. Olive oil is, it doesn't smell anything, right? It doesn't smell good. It's just bland. But these perfumes, cinnamon, myrrh, aloe, and these things, they're beautiful. 7 kilos, 3 kilos of all these things. I've got the formulation there. You're not to make it. or they'll be cut off from Israel. So 6 kilos of myrrh, 3 kilos of cinnamon, 3 kilos of sweet-smelling cane, 6 kilos of acacia. These things are all mixed in. And at one point, they pour it over Aaron on the head. It's called anointing. It's a symbol of what? The Holy Spirit. And after that, Aaron is set apart, empowered, divinely anointed to fulfill his function as the high priest. And he's, when that thing comes on him, why do you put so much oil? Because it's not just a little like this. You actually pour it over, fully soaked everywhere. Why? So that he smells beautiful to God. Beautiful to God. I mean, it must be amazing, you know, a smell. So much. It's all mixed in with oil. It's like, almost like, you know, it's not just flowing liquid when you look at so much solids and liquid all put together. It's like honey must be just flowing through, covering every part of his body. So that God could smell, oh yeah, Aaron, your high priest, you smell good. You went through all this cleansing, bathing, and you know, do you do this? Koreans really, really, you know, scrape off all the dead skin off. We do a lot. Japanese do that too. Gone through days of cleansing, and then you put the oil over. And God says, you smell beautiful, Aaron. And this is what God is saying. He's saying, you know, when the brothers, the 12 tribes, came together with one heart, their face glistening under the sun to worship God, God is saying, you know, your whole congregation, wow, it smells really good. Smells really good. And it also smells good to, very attractive towards outside as well. When we have this beautiful love and unity. What did the high priest do? High priests actually dealt with two things. Through sacrifices, they were dealing with all the incidental sins that were in the camp. You know, when you, there are, you know, when you, somebody's sick, sore, priest will deal with it. The sins that are accumulated, because people are people on earth, until we go to heaven, everybody has a little bit of
mass on a daily basis. This priestly function deals with all the mass that are in the camp. So to speak, it keeps the open heaven. And it deals with problems, deals with mess. At the same time, it keeps open heaven and then keeps us attractive. Attractive. And I believe this is the same thing. This is the, you know, the what David is feeling. Oh, the day. Even though David wasn't alive to anoint Aaron, the very first one, you know, after he became king, he also had the new priesthood. He must have seen this ceremony. It's a crucial importance of priestly function in any society, any church. But the effectiveness, the anointing, the power comes from this unity that covers entire being. Jesus said this, "Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." What is Jesus saying? He's saying, if two of you, three of you, whoever the number, it's not the amount, it's not the number, but whatever the gathering, even two or three, if you have unity, you've got a key. If your heart really resonates with the same thing, same heart, same quality of heart, same love, then that unity of the Spirit actually opens heaven. You get exactly the same thing. So between husband and wife as well, isn't it? I think it's a family. When Mia and I are really united, the blessing we've seen. When we were praying through something, when we really united, there was such blessing. But it's like when I'm doing and Mia is doing but I'm doing Not that we are not blessed. All of us are blessed. But I believe this actually really opens up to the next level of blessing when we are united. Now, David's mind goes to the next picture. Now, he's a shepherd boy before he was a king, so he knows how to spend the night on the field and watch over the sheep, taking from one place to the other mountain for green pasture. And some places are dry. Now, here, we don't really appreciate dew because we get rain. Maybe in the outback, they really need to appreciate dew. Australia is quite dry, but in Australia, in Israel, dew is very important. There are some parts of the land that without dew, they actually cannot do any cultivation. They cannot grow grapes. They depend on dew because from the Mediterranean Sea, moisture sweeps up, and at night, you know, the temperature actually causes condensation, and it covers the dew, and the Mount Hermon is the very high mount, top of the highest mountain in Israel. It's covered with dew, and even, you know, covered with a snow cap. So that dew, where you get the dew, you get the green grass. Where you don't get dew, you get dry patch. Just the dirt, nothing grows. And you have to feed your sheep. So David understands this very well, and he's saying, it's like the Mount Hermon. Dew is covered on Mount Hermon. There's a fruitfulness. That's why unity is like, when all the tribes coming together to worship God with the same heart, resonating, happy, happy, joyful, enjoying one another. Just that brings such blessing, opens up the dew that brings the green life all over the mountain. Remember, Mount Hermon is actually the same mountain where Jesus took his disciples, James, John, and who is the other one? Peter. And got transfigured. That's where he revealed his true nature there. And then he says, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "You are the Christ. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The basis of church. I'll build my church on this revelation." This is where Jesus revealed. It's the same place, Mount Hermon. And David's mind is going, oh, it's Mount Hermon. By revelation, he says, it's like that. It's a place of open heaven. Because there's unity among the brothers. Again, it's the key. You know, Mount Hermon also is a the rocks there is very porous, so the you know the snow kept melts and all that water flows under the rock, and then actually out of cave river flows out. So whole river system comes out of the Mount Hermon and becomes Sea of Galilee, which is actually the main water source even to this day for Israel. Israel actually needs that water. It's life-giving water comes from the Mount Hermon. It's like that. It's coming through. And it gives life wherever this river flows. Main life source. There are two seas in Israel. One is Sea of Galilee. The other one is the Sea of Dead Sea. Dead Sea is called Dead Sea because there's nothing living there. If you've been there, you could actually float without any floaties because it's so heavy with salts and you know things like that. Galilee is full of life. Dead Sea, no life because Galilee receives water of life, gives it out. But Dead Sea, everything just evaporates. It's literally the lowest point on earth. Evaporates, it gives nothing out, it's dead. So again, in unity, which one am I going to be? Am I going to be the Sea of Galilee that receives and gives? Or am I going to be the Dead Sea? Receives, 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 receives. So in these two pictures, there's one thing that's common. What's common? It's the liquid coming down. Covering everything. That's life. And that's a blessing. Right? Aaron's whole body, whole head, every part of his robe was drenched. So none of his body was actually unanointed in that robe. So he talks about it just flows down to the hem of the garment and drops off. Family, church, country, organization, when there is no unity, we still can be blessed individually, but there are gaps, patches of no blessing. When there is a blessing, the whole body. When there's unity, everything gets drenched. And then Mount Hermon, covered with dew. Another psalm talks about how, like a dew, God's gonna raise up his people. Suddenly, it'll appear like a dew. That blessing. And the army of God will rise out of this unity. So one picture is about the priesthood getting anointed. The other picture is about the supply of the living water into the land, into the you know, hill of Zion even. So what does oil do? Oil, the first picture, fits us to go into God's presence. It gives us open heaven. What's the second one? Dew fits us to bear fruit before God, to be fruitful for our lives, for our church, for our nation, for any organization, any family, extended families. When there is harmony of the heart, spiritual harmony, not all agreeing with the same thing, all thinking the same thing, but spiritual harmony of love, that blessing covers us. He says, this is place where God commands the blessing. He says, the there, where is there? The there is where the brothers and sisters, the families, friends, countries, we dwell together in unity. God commands the blessing. So, you know, we can pray for the blessing, we'll get blessed. Or we can actually come under the place where God commands blessing. And then blessing covers every part of our life. Now, what is this nature of blessing? It's a nature of blessing is everlasting life. I was thinking about this. How many want to go on living forever?
Some are saying yes, some are saying...
Somebody was saying this, you know, I don't want to... This. Somebody said, I don't want to live forever on this earth. I think 200 years, 300 years is enough for me to do everything that I want to do. And then after that, I just, you know, yeah. Do I want to live forever? Who wants to live forever? When you are in love, you want to live forever. Isn't that true? When you have someone that you love and then you are loved, you want to live forever. But when you, you know, you feel like everybody hates you, your family don't care about you, you don't want to live forever. You want life to end, right? Really, the blessing of everlasting life really comes in that relationship of love. In fact, this guy said, I would have done everything I want to do and I want to go. People who live for things or achievements even, projects, things, they don't want to live forever. Is it enough? 200 years enough, 300 years enough, maybe even 100 years enough. But people who live for relationship, it's forever. I was thinking, you know, Mia and Nathan, you know, I think I want to live forever in the family. I don't want this to ever come to an end. Talk about the church and the family, you know, the relationship that's here we are building. When I think about us, I want to live forever. But when I just think about doing things, I want to finish the job and go. Right? I don't want to live forever. So the heaven is a place of love and relationship and unity. Jesus' perfect love. Hell is a place where there is no love and torment. They don't want to live. But they cannot escape, doesn't have choice not to leave. That's hell. It's a very real place where there is no love of God whatsoever. You cut off and you go on in their environment. We have one another. Preparation for that love, right? This is what God is saying. If you have this relationship of love, because what Jesus said is, just as I am one with God, the Father, so I want you to be one with me and one with one another. It's not unity of agreement. It's a unity of love, unity of the spirit, unity of the heart. When you have that, we can be physically distant. We can be in one place, you know, we can have another Christian over there, like Angela is in Tacloban. She's in our hearts. So we are in unity. So we don't all have to be physically in the same place, but we can have this spirit of unity. And when we are in unity, blessing of God flows and that life makes sense. Life has that right taste and the texture and pleasantness and the fruitfulness about it. Amen. And God says, just as surely as gravity, dew comes down from heaven, oil goes down from Aaron's head, so you have that unity of the spirit, unity of the heart, unity of love, you can be sure blessing of God will be there. Absolutely. What happened after this psalm? Sadly, after David wrote this psalm, in a few years, unity fell apart. It's a difficult thing to maintain. It really is. History is full of it. It's not done by human strength. His son Absalom and Ammon and the sister, if you know the story, it's a very unpleasant story. Absalom killed Ammon and, you know, he challenged David. There was a split in the kingdom. Even after, he came back with the Solomon built a beautiful temple. But after his day, again, country split into 10 tribes and 2 tribes. And after that, until about Israel, 1948, coming down together, they never had the 12 tribal unity ever again. And even now, I think there are so many political parties. How many political parties in Israel? A lot.
They really don't have that unity. I think in our own strength, unity is impossible. But I believe in unity because Jesus prayed it. Let's turn to John 17. It's because Jesus prayed it, he's going to do it. And we're going to see that blessing here. In your life, in my family, in your family, in your brothers. Sometimes amongst the closest brothers, it's hardest, right? Sisters, it's hardest. Like, you know, cousin you can be very easily close to. But when you get too close, brothers, they rub, you know, in the wrong way. But the third cousin, it's okay. There's enough distance. But Jesus says here, John chapter 17, verse 20. So I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they, who is that? It's us, right? Us. That they may all be one. Whoa, is that right? All. They. It's us who come to Jesus because of the apostles' words. They all be one as you, Father, are one in me and I in you. And they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you have gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire, this is Jesus, only place, I think, only place Jesus prays, Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you have sent me. And so on. Says Jesus, saying, where I am, I want them to be with me. How? We will know this mystery of being one with Jesus, being one with Father, being one with one another, this unity. And from there, we will be where Jesus is. We'll experience peace of heaven. I think it's among the family, it's difficult. But it's something that we can believe God and pray for, yeah? Among even 12 disciples that Jesus had, he didn't have perfect unity. One was not meant to be. Still, Jesus prayed for all of us to come in the same relationship of unity. So what happened? On the day of Pentecost, 120, from 12 to 11, back to 12, Barnabas was chosen. 10 times, 120 were in the upper room, and they were in one accord. One accord. Just a few weeks before, you know, Lord, who is the first? There's a lot of, you know, negative feelings, but after Jesus' death and resurrection, they were all together in one place, united. And God sent the oil and the living water from heaven, right? The oil of the Holy Spirit in fullness flowed through from 120. It went right down and turned the world upside down. Living water flowed. Not only the water and oil, actually God gave also wind and fire as well. Came out of that place of unity. Wind is, you know, like activity of angels. Psalm talks about I make my ministers angels. Winds, the fire, tongue of fire.
power. And from then on, in one way, we can never separate. In a sense, we can never divide the church. In a sense, we are blessed because of Jesus. Holy Spirit came. We have the fullness of the Holy Spirit potentially. At the same time, we live each members, each family, each church. We live in a measure of the fullness of God's blessing as we experience this you know, unity in God, being one with God. Now, let me just finish. I'm actually done today. Are there ingredients of those, you know how anointing oil had oil and the solids, the sweet ones, the beautiful fragrance. Are there beautiful, fragrant solids, the perfumes in the scriptures that we can actually pour it out upon our congregation, one another? I think there is many passages, but I just pick up one. Romans 12, verse 9 to 21. Romans 12, verse 9 to 21. I'm going to just read this, and we're going to just pray. We're going to pray for one another. We'll bless one another. We're going to pray for unity. We're going to pray for unity in the families. If there are disunity among our families, brothers and sisters, let's pray for that. Just bring it before God and ask God to just pour out this anointing, this perfume. And let's anoint one another. You know, anoint one another with this perfume of love and attitude. Okay. Romans 12, verse 9. We're going to read until verse 21. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble or lowly. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. I smile when I read verse 20. So, you know, just putting heap of coal on one another by blessing. No. This is not the motive, right? Yeah. But there's so many things that we can do here. We can bless, love one another. And I believe God actually called us to be a sending church. Sending, you know. Angela has been sent out. Now others have also been through. God has called us from A to B. And then there will be certain people who will be trained or will be blessed, who will move on to the next stage. Some people will stay all the way. But whatever the distance we travel, my prayer is that we have the spirit of unity and love. So wherever we go, there will be oil oil of God's presence flow. Amen? Amen. Okay. Let's get the musicians. The last song we're going to sing. But let's pray. Last song. Oh, yeah. That's one. Okay, let there be love.